How's everybody doing today? Good, good. If you would, please take out with me your outlines for today's message. And we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. And also, we're not going to be doing it right away, but we will be coming to it, Ephesians 5 verses 1 through 21 in a little bit. So you might want to kind of put your finger there. So first, we're going to be reading here in just a moment, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 19 and 20. And you can see there, cleanliness next to godliness. And we've probably all heard that saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. We've all heard it, right? We have heard that verse, correct? No, you have not. Because you cannot find that in the Bible. Now, the teaching may be kind of there, but the verse or the words or the kind of puts it like that is not. It's not the only thing, though, that that we say that we've heard it or we've seen it in the Bible. There's actually some other ones. There's a lot of things that we think that we've heard. A lot of things that we think are there. Like I said, cleanliness next to godliness. Or how about God helps the one who helps themselves? That is not in the Bible. Matter of fact, the teaching of the Bible, of God's Word, is just the exact opposite. We cannot help ourselves. James 1, verses 14 through 15 reads that sin must be dealt with within the heart and within the soul, where it actually starts. If there's anything that we've read, in the Gospels and talk about the Ten Commandments, and when Jesus talked about, hatred was the same thing as having what in your heart or committing in your heart? Murder. Sin starts in our heart. It starts in our mind. And today we're continuing on with our series entitled Taking the Stew Out of Stewardship, correct? And today we're talking about our bodies. Now, to say the least, this can go a lot of different ways and can be hard to talk about. Okay? So I'm going to do my best. Okay? Because this could obviously go a lot of different ways that we don't mean it to or whatever, misunderstand it. But we have to do, or we are called to do, is overcome our bad thoughts, our evil suggestions. And when we try to do that, we help ourselves by staying out of troubling actions or commitments. When you go back and you look at history and you look at different things, many people had different ideas about how to stay out of sin or how to deal with sin once they committed it. A lot of people would take and punish themselves. They would take, and some people still do this, but not near as extreme as what it used to be back in, talking about like Greek mythology and just different things, and just back in the way, way back, where they would punish themselves by whipping themselves or cutting themselves and just beating themselves. Or, we've heard stories about how people would wear different clothing, like camel's clothing, turned inside out to prick them so that they would remind themselves to try to stay away from sinfulness. So we have that extreme, which is nothing that we are called to do, by the way. Okay? We are not called to do that. Okay? Then you have the other extreme. The extreme that really, especially when you go and look at the Greeks and back in the day, and really kind of try to beautify sinfulness, where they tried to beautify sinfulness, especially sexual acts. The Aphrodite, the temples and everything that were back in, when you read about in the Greeks. Both of these extremes are wrong. These are two ways that not to be spiritual. Undue or unnatural suppression of the body will make us actually materialistic. The more we try to punish ourselves or something like that and trying to take and do it ourselves as far as being obeying or, you know, and trying to, you know, control your own actions will make you materialistic. Just like as if you're going to try to beautify sin and just let it go makes us materialistic. The Christian position is that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the instrument of the mind, the dwelling place of the inner person. And if you would, please stand with me as we read 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20 real quick. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Lord Jesus, we do ask you to be with us today. We know that you are here with us, and we thank you for that. We thank you now to open up our hearts, open our eyes to the words that you have for us today. Speak to us. We pray this to your loving name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. In considering stewardship, what we've been talking about the last few weeks, and just the different things, and looking at what our stewardship with our bodies is about, we're going to look at or ask ourselves four different questions in our message today. And the first question is simply this: whose body is it anyway? Whose body is it anyway? We hear a loud cry in our society today. It's my body. It's not just in the discussions of pro-life or pro-choice, but we hear it from all sorts of, all over the place in our society today. Well, it's my body, I want to change it. It's my body, I want to do this to it. It's my body, I want to do something different that God didn't make me to be able to do, or just different things like that. In reality, we have to understand and realize that our bodies are God's, just like our scripture says. This is why we have a responsibility in our stewardship with the things that we do with our bodies. Not just the actions, but what we do with our bodies. It is part of our stewardship to God. And the first thing I want us to look at is this: our body is God's design. Our body is God's design. It is estimated that the study of the human anatomy began about 1,600 years before Christ. Okay? Now, that's an estimate. That's what they think anyway, okay, when they first started looking at different things. A lot of things have changed since then. A lot of ideas have changed since then, and a lot of ideas about how different things function and just all different things have changed over the years, especially when we look at modern times and we can see things more close up and just different things and learn more about it. But, you know, for example, did you know that from your heart, starting at your heart, running through your whole body and returning back to your heart, there are over, depending on how tall you are and stuff like that, but estimated, right, about 60,000 miles of blood vessels in each one of our bodies. 60,000 miles of blood vessels. Now, if you don't believe me, look it up and you'll see that I'm true, because when I first heard, I didn't believe it either. But yeah, 60,000 miles of blood vessels running throughout our bodies. Think for a moment about our brain, our heart, our lungs. Gene, especially for you right now, your kidneys. How many of us have ever had kidney stones? Gallbladder stones, all things like that, okay? They all have a dramatic role for the things that they do, the roles that they play in each of our bodies. You as a nurse would know this. Think about what we would be missing if God had designed us never to have eyes or to see simply in black and white. If he would design us never to be able to hear, Don?
I can now, praise God.
What? Okay? Even though some people have lost it, some people do get it, but we know that we are designed to be able to have those functions. But think about the things that we have, those blessings that we have as far as sight, to be able to feel things with our fingers, to be able to go and take your shoes off. I hate to have shoes on. Okay? If I could, you wouldn't want me to. If I could, I'd be up here barefoot, digging my feet into the car. I hate to wear shoes. I can remember my mom and dad have told the story that when I was, you know, a little kid, about 3 years old, the pastor would get to preaching, and I would just start fussing for mom to take my shoes off. Okay? And the louder the preacher got, the louder I got, till mom would finally take my shoes off, then I'd let go to sleep during the message. But just think of what it would be like if we didn't feel things with our fingers, if we didn't have those senses. Think about, Terry, you would know about this, having our toes to help us keep our balance. You know what it's like to lose something that we've had, and what it's like to try to readjust. You know, there's a tendon that begins in the back of our calves that runs down to our foot. It's the thickest and strongest tendon. It's just not just at the ankle, but it's clear up in the back of our calves. And without it, we can't walk. Without it, our foot is just simply dangling there. And that's, of course, the Achilles tendon. Now, my point is not to give you an anatomy lesson today. That's not my point. My point is simply this. God has designed us in certain ways. Not just each of us has our own personality, but we've all been designed. We are God's special design. He has given us these gifts, and we are called to obey Him with our bodies. We are called to use our bodies for His glory. God not only designed our bodies, but our body is God's creation. Our body is God's creation. We're not just God's creation because He designed our body, or even that He personally formed us. We are told that He literally, what? Breathed into us. How many of us have heard the word Yahweh? Okay? Now, in the English, we pronounce it Yahweh. In the Hebrew, you can't really pronounce it because there are no vowels in it the way it's spelled. It's like a breath, is what it means. You're taking a breath in and taking a breath out. So we go Yahweh, it's like, Yah. That's how it's actually supposed to sound in the Jewish. Because there's no vowels in it. But being English, we got to add something to it so we understand it. But it means simply the breath of God. God literally breathed into us to give us life. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit. I'm saying He gave us His breath. He gave us the Holy Spirit comes when we ask Christ for forgiveness. We got to understand that's a whole different area. But He breathed into Adam to give us life. And since that time, we have the breath of God within us to give us physical life. Notice He did that with nothing else in creation. He didn't breathe. Nowhere does it say that He breathed into the nostrils of an animal, or the dinosaur, or a rhinoceros, or a dog, or a cat, or anything like that. It only says it about Adam. Only about the humans. We have that special gift of His breath giving us life. Our body is God's to redeem. Our body is God's to redeem. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Our life, our daily living is sacred to God. Paul appealed to the Roman church to live life understanding how much we mean to God when he wrote in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, because God redeems us. We are redeemed. So let's look at the second question. What is the body? What is the body? In simplest terms, the body tells us that the body is a dwelling place, the house of the inner person. Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:1, we know that if our earthly house, this body, is this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made of hands, eternal in the heavens. Our body is the dwelling place of our minds and our rational nature. Okay? Our body is the dwelling place of our minds and our rational nature. You said, well, yeah, it kind of makes sense. That's where our brain is. But in Genesis, we read that God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Some versions say that. Okay? Created in the image of God does not, cannot, could not refer to a physical body. Because God is not physical. No, he became God the Son, but at that point, God is what? God is spirit, right? Everybody nod your head with me. Yes, God is spirit and has no body like what he has blessed us with. So when it talks there about being created in God's image, it has to mean that the rational, moral, spiritual nature of humans are all included in the image of God. And he has blessed us with that, and he has given us a body with our brains and everything to know about him. To know our bodies belong to him. Our body is the dwelling place of our human spirit / soul. Our body is the dwelling place of our human spirit / soul. I like to look at it like this. We have a body. We are a soul. In other words, we are spirit. We are not God's spirit, not Holy Spirit, but we are a soul. It's good to take care of our body, correct? Okay? But not only as we care for it just because it's something complex or something special or whatever. For the Christian, the body is the dwelling place, the instrument of the soul. That is where the soul, that God says, you know, we talk about where our soul is going to go when we die. Okay? Especially if we die before he returns and that our soul is taken to be with him. Correct? We talked about that in our heaven series, if you remember. Okay? That's where our soul is harbored, is in our body. Our body is the dwelling place of the human soul, the spirit. For the Christian, the body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So everybody's got this soul to them. Everybody has a soul. Even if they have not accepted Christ, they still have a soul. If that person never accepts Christ, we are told in the Bible what happens to the soul. Whether we like it or not, we are told that when that person dies, the judgment comes and they are thrown into hell forever, their soul. Right? We all agree that that's what the Bible says. But for the Christian, the body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. When we ask Christ to become our Savior, we get that gift of the Holy Spirit. And when I say gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about what Scott has been talking about and very well instructing us on Sunday mornings and Sunday school class. I'm talking about the gift being the Holy Spirit given to us the moment we ask Christ to be our Savior. That's how God indwells us, is through his Holy Spirit. In John 14, Jesus talked to his disciples about the Holy Spirit and how it abides within them. In Ephesians 5, Paul admonished the church by saying, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't necessarily talking about getting the gifts from the Holy Spirit, but to let the Spirit indwell them and show them and how to live. To be filled with the Spirit simply means to let God, through his Holy Spirit within us, have first place in our life. When Paul told them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he had just told them to live wisely, to put away foolish things, to get rid of the sinful living of lives of what they had been doing. He told them to be full of love and to sing songs of the Spirit. Unfortunately, too many times we fill our lives up with the things that are contrary to the Spirit or contrary to the Scripture. Especially before Christ, even after Christ, we mess up from time to time. Sometimes we even fill our lives up with things that we think are scriptural. Which brings us to our third question. How should we use our body? How should we use our body? So we're talking about how, okay, God has blessed us with being his design. God has blessed us through giving us breath. God has blessed us in so many different ways, especially what we just finished up with, that when we ask Christ to be our Savior, we are given the Holy Spirit to live within us. So now what? So now what do we do our bodies? How should we use our body? And there's two main points to consider here. First, we have the wrong uses of the body. Okay? And we're just going to go through these kind of quick. First thing about wrong uses of the body, whatever impairs the body would be wrong. Whatever impairs the body. What I mean by this is simply this. We all know that drugs, alcohol, tobacco, and everything for long term hurts the body. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. I know there's a lot of, debate in the churches today about what you can do, can't do. If you do it just a little bit, do it just here, just whatever, especially with, the drinking, wine, stuff like that. I'm not here to get an argument going. I'm just saying whatever. But we know that excessive use of certain things hurts the body. Excessive overeating hurts the body. That's one of the reasons why I've been trying harder. It's a process, believe me, I get it. But whatever impairs the body would be a wrong use, a wrong way of using the body. When we look at it like that, when we understand it. Whatever leads to unfaithfulness. Whatever leads to unfaithfulness. Whatever defiles, and whatever causes out of control. Whatever causes out of control. Now go back to a moment ago where we made that comment, it's my body, I can do what I want with it. When we have that attitude, whatever it be about, okay, it's my body, I can eat what I want as much as what I want. It's my body, I can have this, I can do this, I can do this. We now become enslaved to our own desires. Okay? Somebody that, like myself, who has a problem with overeating, I'll be the first to admit it, struggle with it day in, day out. I become enslaved to my desires. Now, we can do something about it, I get that. But we become, when we have that attitude, well, it's my body. No, it's not our body. Whose body is it? God, because he has designed us. He has created us. He has breathed his life into us. Okay? Yes, but he did write it on the cross. You're right, Terry. I'm not trying to say you're wrong, okay? But yes, because of all those things, he is our designer, he is our creator, he has given us the life that we have. That's why it's his body. And when we have this attitude, well, I can just do this and do this because I have the right or whatever, we actually enslave ourselves to our own desires. If we have accepted Christ, we do not own our own body to do whatever we want. If you would, please turn with me now to Ephesians 5. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 21. I know it's a little lengthy. I won't make you stand up again. Unless you want to, that's up to you. Okay, Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolishness, or foolish talking, excuse me, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Amen. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfaithful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Starting with verse 15 here. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So what are the good things, if you want to put it that way? The uses of the body that God intended for us. The uses of the body God intended. Number one, instruments of worship and praise. Instruments of worship and praise. Number two, vehicles of righteousness. Vehicles of righteousness. And number three, instruments of his glory. Instruments of his glory. That's what we are to be using our bodies for. And you notice there that there's more of the bad ways than walking with God. You ever look at that? If you really, really ever think about that, that when we get wrapped up in evilness, there's more things to it. There's more ways of trying to cover it up. There's more ways of trying to lie about it. There's more ways of trying to do whatever with it. But when we simply walk in Christ, God's word makes it simple. It spells it out to us. You go back to Genesis, my favorite. So remember that saying, go back to Genesis. Adam and Eve in the garden. They had one thing they had to do that they could not do. One thing. And then look at what they had to do in order to try to cover, or what they did try to do to try to cover it up. Trying to hide from God. You know, all the things that they're being left out of, or that they're missing out on. So in closing, what of the body? Our last question. What of the body? What conclusion are we to come to? In ancient Greece, there was a famous thinker named Porphyry. I don't know if I'm spelling that or saying that right, but that's what I'm saying. Who was so devoted to the life of the spirit, or the spiritual life, that he was ashamed of his body. And this is a huge mistake. We're not called to be, to look at ourselves as being a mistake. We are not mistakes. I don't care what, you know, whatever, we make mistakes, but God did not create us as a mistake. Lori, when we were down in Texas, of course, most of you probably already know this, she babysat for a little girl with Down syndrome. That little girl was not a mistake. Is not a mistake. There's no such thing as a mistake. I understand that there's birth defects and things that happen, but that does not make that person a mistake. God has created us the way he wants us. John 1 says, the Word, that God became actually flesh. He became God in the body. Which should tell us that God doesn't look at our bodies as being a mistake. God himself became just like us. This is why I say, though, that Christians must think of the body as sacred. Christians must think of the body as sacred. Jesus had a human body subject to all the things that we go through. He was tempted just like we were tempted. He felt pain just like we felt pain or feel pain. Okay? He loved people like we are called to love people. Okay? So he went through all that stuff that we do go through. Christ is the greatest example of what it means to not defile or despise our body or abuse it or fail to be a good steward with it. So yeah, we can look at, you know, this deal about, you know, how to use our bodies, you know, not to use it for fornication and outside of sex marriage or outside of marriage sex and all these different things. But that's only part of it. And it's just a small part of it. We are simply to give and devote our bodies to use it for God the way he's called us to. The gifts that he's given us, the talents that he's given us, whatever it is, we've been talking, like I said in Sunday school, about the different gifts. We are called to do those things because God has blessed us with it. We are to use our bodies to praise him, to show others his love and everything that we've been talking about. Remember, there is a day coming when we will have new, perfect, resurrected bodies. There's a day coming that I won't indulge in my desires that I'm not supposed to, as far as the overeating. I still hope I get to eat. Okay. But I won't have that desire to overindulge. Until then, let's be good stewards with the body that God has given us.